What I did was examine extractable and non-extractable. There's an oxymoron for you. I extracted the non-extractable proanthocyanidins from a selection of red and black beans. And I did this with Girish Ganjal at Washington State University in the food science and his student, Kristen. Why did I do this? Do you remember, did anyone see my presentation last year when I analyzed the phenola content in a bunch of heirloom beans? These were gorgeous beans with so many different colors and patterns. And I just thought, well, you know, since the colors are due to phenolic compounds, let's have a look and see what the diversity is in these. And you can see I had 120 of these with just all kinds of beautiful colors and patterns. And you can see at the bottom there, there's the extractable, and then on the right is the non-extractable. And there were like more than tenfold differences in the phenolic content. Okay, now if I were to ask you, which beans do you think had the highest phenolic content? Most people would say, oh, it's black beans or red beans. Okay? And as you can see here, there was like a 12-fold difference in the amounts. These were the highest. Check out California, a light brown, and Bica brown. The black bean is in the middle. But when I looked at the black beans, I had four black beans in the heirloom collection, and there was a 2-fold difference. And the same thing happened with the red types. Okay, so I thought, wow, you really can't judge a book by its cover. So with the non-extractable polyphenols, the same thing happened. Most of the beans that were white had very little, but these were the highest. California and Cream 6 Weeks had the highest non-extractable proanthocyanidins. So that was kind of an eye-opener that led me to believe that maybe I ought to start looking into other market classes of the collection. Okay, and there was pretty good correlation between the extractable and non-extractable, but not always. Okay, Black Nightfall, low extractables but very high non-extractable polyphenols. But then these were highly correlated. So when it comes to black beans, I've got big ones, I've got small ones, I've got glossy and dull, but they are all black, okay? You really can't tell the difference amongst these things very well. Red beans, I got light red, medium red, and that one on the right, that is red, okay? I took it with my phone. It was really a dark red. It did not show up too well. So the extractables, they, using the Follin-Chacalto reagent, it measures not just phenols, but kind of reducing compounds, and it measures the antioxidant capacity. And I extract these using methanol and water at pH 2, and then doing a second extraction with acetone and water and mixing those two together. Okay, and with black beans, I found a 5-fold difference amongst these. Okay, and you really can't tell the difference between the ones that were low. And this, I apologize, where it says Rio de Belgis, you think of a Rio as a rib. No, it's supposed to be Roy de Belgis. It means King of Belgium. Okay. Paul Gepps pointed that out to me. I got to change the name when I get back to the collection. And the higher ones, again, they're black, so you really couldn't tell the difference. Red beans, same thing again, whether it's light, dark, those are the lower ones. These are the highest. Can't really tell much of a difference in there, but there was a 4-fold difference in the extractable phenolics. Looking at the non-extractable, these are polymers of flavanol units, okay? They're condensed tannins, and they're associated with dietary fiber and protein. These are important because they reach the colon in association with vegetable cell walls, and they help prevent a lot of diseases, especially colon cancer. Okay, if you're on the right, you'll see kind of a look at the polymer that we break up, and we do that using an acid butanol assay. It's 10% hydrochloric acid and butanol, and it breaks it into the anthocyanidins and the xanthillium compounds. We measure it two frequencies, add them together, and boom, there we go again. Look at this, a 10-fold difference in black beans in these non-extractable phenolic compounds. And again, the Roy de Belgis and resistant Cherokee were the lowest. The highest, you really can't tell the difference. And there wasn't that much of a correlation between the extractable and non-extractable. Going to the red beans, we have a 4-fold difference. Again, can't really tell the difference. between the high and the low by looking, but there was a high correlation between the extractable and non-extractable phenolic compounds. So again, even within market classes, you can't judge a bean by its color. So anyone who tells you that, oh, well, yeah, beans are really nutritious, yes, they are. But I wonder which bean you're looking at, because the protein will go from 14 to 28%. The phenolic compounds are just amazingly diverse. And there's so much room for breeding even within market classes. Okay, so in black beans, and Jim Kelly, the bean breeder in Michigan, is going to send me some black beans so that I can actually look at some of the more prevalent cultivars out there right now. He was supposed to send me those last year, but he forgot. So I'm going to have a look at those for him. How am I doing on time? Oh, Lord. I got too much time. So let me just say one more thing then. Has anyone ever heard of a thing called slow darkening? It's a problem in pinto beans, and it's a problem in cranberry beans. There's this beautiful pinto beans, white with nice little browns. That over age, it gets darker and darker and darker, and that makes it less desirable, harder to cook. Is there any reason to believe that that's not going on in black beans and red beans as well? Even just because you can't see it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not happening. So first of all, I'd like to tell you to eat more beans. I want you to look at the bottom left over here, the feijoada. If you've never had black bean, the Brazilian black bean stew, oh my God, you're missing something. And I had my very first authentic feijoada after a Brazilian student told me all about it. I finally found a Brazilian restaurant in Lexington, Kentucky. And it was awesome. I had the feijoada. They had the caipirinha made with cachaça. I mean, it was authentic. It was really great. Tres leche for dessert. Oh, my God. It was just wonderful. And, of course, if anyone ever finds, there's a book. It's called Soup for Syria. And they have recipes in there for a lot of different soups made with pulse products. Moroccan bean and pepper stews in it. But Soup for Syria is a book. All the proceeds from the sale of the book go to help the refugees from Syria. So I bought it thinking, I would, you know, oh my God, the recipes were awesome. And then you're in Washington, D.C. Did you know that there is a U.S. Senate Navy bean soup? I'm not sure you can get into the Senate cafeteria anymore with all the security, but they used to serve that. It was a staple at the Senate cafeteria. And the best thing about it is they always served it with a scoop of mashed potatoes in the middle. So you might think about that. Now, slow darkening. This is some work that was done by North Dakota State University and also with folks in Canada. Peter Pauls did a lot of this work. And if you look over at the right over here, these are the proanthocyanidins. And apparently with age, they will break down, and they think that quercetin is the product that makes these things turn kind of orangish. So there's no reason to think that this isn't happening in all beans, not just the black and the red beans, the pinto beans and the cranberry beans. So Jim Kelly said that he's going to send me some black beans of some major cultivars he has, and he's been saving them over the years. So he has some from like 10 years ago, and so we're going to measure his black bean cultivars and with time to see if this stuff changes. So I think that's going to be an interesting endeavor. And also, I'm looking, if you look at heirloom beans, do I have it? Yeah, okay, a little bit of history. Food color for humans is important, and even with beans. A lot of people, even Native Americans, recognized and appreciated selective beans with the attractive seed coats, just beautiful things. I showed you the picture of those heirlooms. There was a fellow who sent me a bean called Monachina. He said he loved this bean so much he would squash each individual bean with a fork and dip it in olive oil and eat them one at a time. So people really love their heirloom beans. And the problem is a lot of them look alike and have different names. So that's another thing I'm thinking of doing, is collecting up all these heirlooms that appear to be the same and see if, in fact, they just have the same seed color, but they're very genetically different. So that's what I plan for the future. And I'm still way under time. Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
These characteristics on the soluble and insoluble, does it have anything to do with leading characteristics also with characteristics?
And the question is, do these colors have anything to do with the bleeding from of the colors through cooking? And yes, I would say that it does, in fact. And if you look at a lot of these beautiful beans, they might not look the same after they're cooked. I mean, you look at a pinto bean, you know, a nice little kind of cream color with what you cook it, it's brown. All right. Another interesting thing that, I don't know, 2 years ago, I talked about a thing called a nuña bean. Does anybody remember that? It's the Peruvian popping bean. This bean was selected by the Indians of Peru who lived in the mountains above 10,000 feet where you can't boil food efficiently. They selected this bean, Phaseolus vulgaris, like any other, throw it in a hot rock, a frying pan, something, boom, it pops and you eat it like a peanut. The good thing about that, there's no bleeding. The seed coat, everything comes intact. You keep all the antioxidant activity in the bean when you eat it, and they range up to 24% protein and just loaded with antioxidants. So we are presently with the University of Washington and Jim Nienhuis in Wisconsin, and Mark Brick in Colorado have bred some of these. They're unfortunately photoperiod sensitive and climbers, but we now have some in advanced breeding lines that are bush types, not photoperiod sensitive, and they are poppers. So you might look forward to seeing these in your grocery store one of these days. And my personal goal is to make these available for the school breakfast program, especially in rural areas. Can you imagine 6 million of our children show up hungry for school every day? They show up, you give them a can of beans, or excuse me, a can of juice and a bag of beans, and now they're hungry for knowledge. So I'm thinking that this, I mean, beans are wonderful. They're a $22 billion a year product, and I think this will even, this use of snack food is going to, oh, and Girish and a fellow, I don't know if I should name the company, but they think that this bean, because of its unique carbohydrate, can actually make good extruded bean foods, 100% extruded bean products, like bean chips, bean Cheetos. Yeah, so we shall see. That's what the lies in the future. What's that? Was it 100%?
Yeah,
yeah, probably. So who knows? But and I'll tell you, as long as I still got 5 minutes. So at the BIC meet, Bean Improvement Cooperative in Michigan State, I don't know if anyone ever read Calvin and Hobbes, but Calvin's mom says, Calvin, eat your vegetables. And he goes, I don't want to. And his dad said, hey, yeah, good thing, because they're radioactive. If you eat them, you're going to cause mutation. And he says, really? And he just, you know, scarfs them down. He says, I can feel it working. We had kids at the Bean Improvement Cooperative. They made white bean pasta and black bean pasta. All right? Adults, oh, the white bean pasta, yeah, but black beans, it looks like worms. The kids, yeah, white bean pasta is okay, but the black bean looks like worms. You know? So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of room out there for bean products other than, you know, bean burritos and that sort of thing. And there are so many recipes out there. And we, if anyone's familiar with the Pulse Health Initiative, which I think this year might be funded, and just the Pulse Crop Initiative, just to get people eating more beans, peas, chickpeas, and lentils, I think would make America a lot healthier.